Hello and welcome to our program. We're going to start a series of 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John. Stay tuned. Well, John the Apostle is the last of the 12 apostles still alive. The rest have gone on to heaven. And as he writes this portion of the scriptures, he tells us why he is writing it. He said in 1 John 1 and verse number 3, that ye also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. Then he said in 1 John 1 and 4, these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. Then in 1 John 5 and 13, he said, these things have I written unto you, that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that you have eternal life. And then he gave a couple of negative reasons for writing. Those were very positive. But he also included in 1 John 2 and 26, these things have I written unto you concerning them that seduce you. Concerning them that seduce you. That word seduce has been translated deceive 24 times. And if he says you need to be concerned about those who would deceive you. Paul wrote in 2 Timothy 3:3 that evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. That was the same Greek word. Then in Revelation 2 and 20, John, again writing there, was warning about that woman who the pastor was allowing to teach and seduce the Lord's servants. And then in 1 John chapter 4, verse number 1, he said, beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits, whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. I read that when I was first saved. I was just a teenager, and I said, but try the spirits. Well, it means I try this one, I try that one. Well, how do I do that? No, what the word means here, to try, is to put them on trial, and the only safe way you can do that is put them on trial and line them up with the Word of God and see if they're right or if they're wrong, because the Word of God is the truth. And so he has 5 reasons for writing here, that you may have fellowship, that your joy might be full, that you may know that you have eternal life, that you might be concerned about those that would seduce or deceive you, and that many false prophets are gone out, so you better try them by the Word of God and make sure that you are lining things up with the Word of God. Now, if you ask the average Christian, do you believe that false doctrine exists? They would say, yes, of course it exists. Does it exist in your church? Well, they would say, oh no, it doesn't exist in my church. Well, keep in mind that John was writing to a very faithful group of people here. He was writing to the remnant. He was writing to those who were very sincerely and genuinely wanting to do what the Lord wanted them to do. And he said, I've written you concerning them that seduce you. Watch out, because many false prophets are gone out. Now, the only way that we can tell whether false doctrine is being preached in our churches or not is to compare what is being preached with the Word of God. You remember that Paul said that he commended the Christians at Berea because they listened with an open mind, and then they went home and searched the Scriptures daily to see if these things be so. You should not believe anything I say on this broadcast until you check it out with the Scriptures. False doctrine is nothing new. Doctrine is simply teaching, and it began way back in the Garden of Eden, where Satan actually used God's words against him. In Genesis 3:4, he says, ye shall not surely die. Well, he only changed one word. In Genesis 2 and 17, the Lord said, thou shalt surely die. All the devil did was add one little three-letter word, ye shall not. surely die. When the devil was tempting Christ, we find that he used scriptures, proof texts. He took scriptures out of context to prove what he wanted to say as he was tempting Jesus in the wilderness. Well, Jesus replied with scriptures that were accurately interpreted. And as we've said and will say again and again, if only way to understand scripture is to compare scripture with scripture and to make sure that we get what the Bible is saying within the context of what it is saying. Well, when Jesus began his ministry, the first thing we find him doing is confronting the false teachers. He said in Matthew 16:6, "Take heed and beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees." He is confronting them. He confronted them face to face. He called them hypocrites 14 times in the book of Matthew. Well, then when you get up to the church at Ephesus, we read this in Acts chapter 20, verse 28 through 30. "Take heed, therefore, unto yourselves and to all the flock over the which the Holy Ghost has made you overseers, to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood. For I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock, and also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things to draw away disciples after them." And what's that verse all about? Well, Paul the Apostle is leaving. He calls the pastors together and he says to the pastors, "Take heed to yourselves. Take heed that you feed the church of God. Feed them." And then he said, "Because after I depart, grievous wolves are going to enter in among you. And not only that, also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things to draw away men after themselves." Well, what kind of church was that church at Ephesus? Well, in Acts chapter 19 and Acts chapter 20, you can read for yourself, the church at Ephesus was in excellent health. But Paul was concerned about these seducers, these deceivers who would come in amongst them. And Jesus said they'd be wolves in sheep's clothing. Paul here just called them grievous wolves. Well, in Acts 19 and 20, the church at Ephesus was in excellent health. If you read the book of Ephesians, which was to that same church, the church was in a declining health. Then if you read 1 and 2 Timothy, and Timothy was the pastor of that church, the church was in a critical condition. When you get to Revelation chapter 2, the same church, the Bible says, was sick unto death. Well, what happened? What happened was they didn't listen to Paul when he said, take heed, and feed those people in your church, pastor. Feed them so that they have some strength to stand against the wiles of the devil in this age in which we are living. Well, then we get to the church at Galatia. What do we read there? We read, well, in chapter 1, verse 6, Paul began, "I marvel that ye are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another gospel, but there be some that trouble you." Well, who's that? Those deceivers, those that would come in and seduce them that John is talking about in 1 John chapter 2 and verse number 26. Paul said here in Galatians that they would pervert the gospel of Christ. And he went on to say, "But though we are an angel from heaven, preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. And as we said before, so say I now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that which ye have received, let him be accursed." Well, when Paul wrote the Hebrews, we read in Hebrews chapter 2 and verse number 1, "Therefore we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip." He said in Hebrews 10 and 23, "Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering." Wavering, that is living undecided between two or more courses of action. Well, what about the church at Colossae? Well, we get to that church, we find it's an excellent church. Colossians chapter 1, verse 4 starts out, "And we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus, and of the love which he have for all the saints, and the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, whereof we heard before in the world of the truth of the gospel. And continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved away, he said. Wow, he said, this is an exciting church. You have faith, you have love, you have hope, you're dealing with the truth. But then he says, be careful, continue in the faith, that be grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel. Well, he also said in Colossians 2 and 18, let no man beguile you. In Colossians 2 and 4, he said, and this I say, lest any man beguile you with enticing words. He said in Colossians 2 and 8, beware, lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the traditions of men, and after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. He said, beware, that is, be alert to the danger. Well, what about the church at Thessalonica? 1 Thessalonians 1:8, he said, stand fast in the Lord. 3:10, perfect that which is lacking in your faith. Chapter 5 and verse 6, therefore let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. Chapter 5:21, prove all things, hold fast to that which is good. 2 Thessalonians 2 and 3, let no man deceive you. 2 and 15, stand fast and hold the traditions which ye have been taught. Then in 3 and 6, we command you, brethren, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, ye withdraw yourselves from every brother that walketh disorderly, and not after the tradition which ye have received of us. We are seeing over and over in all of these churches, there is a warning, watch out. Well, then Peter wrote, it says in 1 Peter 1 and 1, and he wrote to the church at Pontus and Galatia and Cappadocia and Asia and Bithynia. And what did he say to them? Chapter 5 and verse 8, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. And then we read in 2 Peter chapter 2, verses 1 and 2, Peter said there were false prophets among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privily shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them. That bought them. That word has been translated redeemed 3 times. Denying the Lord that redeemed them. It's Christians preaching a damnable heresy. Well, that's happening big time today. They're saying you don't need to repent in order to be saved. Well, 2 Peter 3:9, the Lord is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And so he said there's going to be many false teachers coming in, and they're going to start teaching you that you don't need to repent. And that is a damnable heresy. That heresy will damn you in hell for eternity. And many shall follow their pernicious ways. That word pernicious has been translated destruction 5 times, has been translated waste 2x. Well, that's what's happening today. We're living in an age, in this age, when in our fundamental independent Baptist circles, it is very, very popular to preach, just believe, just pray a prayer, and you'll be okay. Well, the Bible says the devils believe and tremble, and they're not okay. Well, what did Jude have to say about this? Well, he said in Jude chapter 1, verse number 3, beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation. Now, that word common, that has been translated unholy in Hebrews 10:29. It has been translated defiled in Mark 7 and 2. It has been translated unclean 3 times in Romans 14 and 14. So he says, I gave all diligence to write unto you about this unholy, defiled, unclean salvation that is being promoted. And he said, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that you should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. He said it was needful. That word has been translated necessity 7 times. It's even been translated distress. Jude said, I'm distressed over this. They're bringing in a false gospel. They're bringing in a common gospel. They're bringing in a defiled, unholy, unclean gospel. Yeah, that's what it is when you say you don't need to repent. That's exactly what that is. Now, we see here, back in our scripture, in 1 John 2 and 26, and he gave these warnings, and he said, these things I have written unto you concerning them that deceive you or seduce you. He says, be concerned. And then in chapter 4 and verse 1, he said, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits. Try them against the word of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Now, I'm going to make a statement. there are more warnings against false doctrine that are emphasized in the scriptures than any other issue. And over and over and over again in all these churches, Paul or Peter, Jesus himself said, watch out for these false doctrines. Well, the Bible says the Holy Spirit will guide you into all truth, and all truth is all truth, not some truth. In 1 John, it's a very positive book. We said it's a book concerning absolutes. John said in 1 John 2 and 3, we do know that we know. He used the words, we know, that phrase 11 times. He said, I know, once. He hereby know, he said 4 times. Ye know, 5 times. The word know by itself is found 22 times in 7 little chapters here in 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John. And so we'll begin on chapter 1 in our next broadcast.